stand over here. I do appreciate being here tonight. What we've already felt in our hearts, and God has certainly been with us in this gathering.
Amen.
And we're thankful for Him. I got to make an announcement tonight as well. Haven't talked to the deacons about it yet. I guess it'll be all right with them. We want to make an announcement that our Friends and Family Day is the third Sunday in October. On that Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday night, we're going to have a revival.
Amen.
All right. And Amen. The same guy that's going to preach our revival for us on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is also going to preach for us on Friends and Family Day. And you guys know him, quite well, Brother Terry Brock.
Amen.
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 He'll be there. I talked to him, and he's all excited about coming. So we look forward to Terry being there. And I know, you know, it's almost like these cooks, when they put together their best meal, they're excited for people to come.
Yeah.
And especially when they have other people that's brought in stuff, they can't wait to try. It's almost, and I use this example of Dottie when she brings in her treats. Yeah. Everybody's excited because Dottie's always bringing something. We know it's good.
Yeah. Yes.
She'll just say it's something she threw together, but we know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
That's the way I am about our Friends and Family weekend. And I make mention of it tonight so that you can be praying for it, that God would just move in the midst of our church, and that we would see people get right. And it'd be wonderful if we could get some people saved Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to join with us on Friends and Family on Sunday.
Amen.
So remember that. And tell everybody, will you? And I don't guess the deacons would be too mad at me that I told y'all before I told them.
You mad, Terry?
Yeah. Give us some time to think about it. This scripture has been on my heart today, and I don't know why, but it goes right with the songs that Rob picked out for tonight. And I didn't call Rob and ask him to pick those songs out, but they go right with the word that's been on my heart for just a few minutes of time in this little message this evening. And most of you could probably quote these verses as well. In the book of John, in the 14th chapter, in the first verse, where he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me."
Yeah.
Right? That's what he told them. And he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you."
That's right.
He wouldn't even have made mention that there was mansions there.
That's right.
But he told us, and then he told us to reaffirm that if it wasn't so, I wouldn't even told you.
That's right.
And then he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And one of the things that really, in the third verse, that strikes me is that he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also."
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And then he didn't stop there, but he said, "And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." He had already told these guys all about this. But I want to preach about that trouble for a few minutes that he's talking about. In the book of John, four different times, he talks about trouble. Two of them, Jesus was talking about himself that he experienced. And two of them was trouble that other folks experienced. The one that he talked about was there when the Bible says at a certain season of the year, an angel would go down and the stirring or the troubling of the water. And whoever was first to get into that water was made whole. And you remember Jesus asked the man, he said, will you be made whole? And he said, how can I? He said, when I go, some other man, and I'm paraphrasing, would beat me into that water and he'd be made whole. And here I lie still with my infirmity. But see, that water was troubled for a reason. And when the water was troubled, whoever got in there first was made whole.
That's right.
Today, we still have the troubling of the water, but it's not who is first that gets made whole, but it's whosoever will come.
Yeah.
And when we get into that water, we're made whole. The second time he talks about trouble that people saw was here, when he was telling them that he was going away. And they was concerned about that, and he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." In other words, just be at peace. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, you see that human part come in there? Yeah. If I go, because previously he had prayed about this. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about him, it goes back to the Bible in over a couple more chapters, over an 11th chapter, that even Jesus was troubled. Yeah. In the 11th chapter, because he come there and his friend had died. And Martha and Mary was concerned because if he had been there, their brother would still be alive. And he said, take me and show me where you've laid him. You remember Jesus stood outside the tomb and his soul, the Bible says, was troubled. And he stood there, and the shortest verse in the Word of God in the English language is when Jesus stood there and the Bible says that he wept. Because that was his friend. But also, it wasn't just his friend. He knew what he was about to do.
Yeah.
And I believe this all my heart, Sister Karen, that he knew that Lazarus was better off in that grave than what he was about to do for him.
Yeah.
But he said, not for me, Father. He said, first of all, listen to this. And this is all for all of us as children of God. When he started praying, he said, I thank you, Father, that you have heard my prayer.
Yeah.
And he knew he was going to answer it. And he says, I don't ask that you do it for me. I don't even ask that you do it for Lazarus. But I ask that you do it, that these that are round about might see and believe upon you.
Yeah.
And that other trouble that Jesus had, the second one that he had, was when he knew that he was going away. His spirit was troubled in him.
Yeah.
Because he said in that verse, he said, for this cause came I into this world. But here again, he says, if I go. It's not just once, but it was a couple different times he said, if I go.
Yeah.
He was troubled because he did not want to face what he knew was lying ahead of him.
That's right.
The soldiers beating him was not something that he didn't know about. Isaiah told us about it.
Yeah.
It was prophesied what he would go through. The scourging was not something that he didn't know about. It was prophesied by Isaiah. The plucking of the beard and even the beating to where he wasn't even humanly recognizable, was it something that he didn't know about? Isaiah prophesied about it. Him being crucified on a cross, he knew all about it. And he knew there would be those that would walk by and wag their heads at him. But he also knew that there would be some that would say, like the soldier did, that when he walked by, he said, surely this was the Son of God.
Yeah.
Or maybe like the one that was on his right-hand side that said, Lord, remember thou me when you go into your kingdom. And the Lord said unto him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Yes.
But not just those two. Aren't you glad that he went and he saw you and he saw me?
Yeah.
People that had trouble in our lives, that without God we would have nothing that we could call upon.
Right.
I was thinking about today, I said this in a message in times past, that you can make it through this world without God. You can live, there are people that do this. But your life is not to the fullest extent of what God wants you to have. And one thing that you can't do, you cannot make that crossing over Death's Chilly Jordan River waters by yourself into a place called heaven unless you know God as your Lord and Savior.
Right.
People say, well, where will I go? The Bible says, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. But he knew that there would be trouble. I hear the black preacher that I used to listen to all the time. He said like this, trouble won't last always. And I thought about that, Terry. And then today the verse came to my heart. When we think about trouble, that just remember, the Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if we will have the true joy that God wants us to have on this side of the River Ron. Some of us may have to wait till we get to the other side. But joy is coming in the morning to each and every one of us. He said that here that about this trouble, he said that he would go and first of all, he said it like this. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Becky, you remember several years ago, I preached this. God laid up on my heart that preachers in past, and maybe even I thought about this, that God was having a construction in heaven, and every time a soul would get saved, there'd be a mansion being built. And you've heard the songs that says, and my name's inscribed above the door.
Yeah.
Well, I believe it like this, Brother Russell. When God made heaven, He made it big enough for every man, woman, yeah. boy, or girl yeah. to be born from Adam to the end of time yeah. to have a place there. I've never read in God's Word where He said that He had to remodel or rebuild heaven to make it big enough.
No.
He made it big enough for all of us to go Amen. There. Those houses that He's talking about. And I think I shared this with the church a few years ago in a message, even at Mount Carmel, that the houses that He's talking about. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Yeah.
Can anybody remember the house that you lived in before God saved you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not a mansion. In fact, the Bible says it like this. I'm not trying not to be too long-winded. But the Bible says it like this, that the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the storms of life came, when trouble came, and the winds blew and the rains descended and the floods come up, the house fell. And great was the fall of that house.
Yeah.
If I could put it, those houses were like a shanty. They were a shack. But he that built his house upon the rock, he said, I liken to a wise man that had a firm foundation and built upon something other than what this life has to offer.
Yeah.
My life may not look like much. Yes, I have trouble. You have trouble. But there's one thing about it. When my storms come, my house is still standing.
Amen.
When the storm leaves.
Yeah.
And some people might think that, Checky, I'm bragging upon myself.
No.
It's not because of me, but it's because of who lives in my house.
Amen.
And as long as He lives in the house,
yeah.
and we allow Him to be our foundation and our builder and our maker,
yeah.
our houses will stand when trouble comes.
Yes, yes.
And there's trouble everywhere.
Amen.
It's everywhere. But He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I used to live in a dump, but now I live in a mansion.
Amen.
Because you see, the Bible says that He cast out that strong man and He put a hedge round about it and He made it a new house. Some folks get all hung up on this. I don't want to get into doctrinal things or too deep tonight, but some people get concerned when the Scripture says that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And folks, let me tell you this. When they talk about a new body and a new soul and all this, we all have it within us. When we got saved, we got a new house.
Amen.
It's not a dump anymore.
Right.
In fact, I've got a mansion.
Right.
It's not on the hillside. And people, when we get to heaven, I'm not looking for us to have individual mansions sitting on the streets as we walk down the main road leading up to the throne of God. What I'm looking for is to see a bunch of houses. Where's your house?
Yeah.
This is where we live at.
Yeah.
And He said it like this. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. When we get up from the grave, we're not getting up in this house.
That's right.
We have a brand new house that we're going to get up in.
Amen.
And it's not somebody else's house.
That's right.
It's my house.
Yeah.
And when we get there, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, and listen to this, and if I can find my verse real quickly, he said, that if it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. People say, well, if the mansions are already there through salvation, what was he going to go to prepare? There was still a void that was in the world and in our lives. See, before Jesus came, when people died, and they died faith, believing, Rob, they went to a place called paradise.
Yeah.
Paradise is a place that held man and women's soul that died believing. But there was a void, there was a problem. There was no way to get from paradise to heaven. There was no way there. There was no highway, there was no bridge, there was no road. But the Bible says that when Jesus comes, He made a way, though a man be a wayfaring man, though he be a fool, that he should not err therein. And the Old Testament talked about the highway of holiness.
Yes.
People say, well, how did it get built? If you can see this, and I've never understood how they can do this, but some of these builders, Ron, they can build a road, and one of them can start on this side of the river, and they can build up to here, and the other one can start on this side of the river, and they can build up to here, but there's a void there. They can't get across. You know what Jesus Christ did? He prepared a place.
Yeah.
He made a way. There used to be a song Phil Cross and the Poet Voices used to sing, said that Jesus built a bridge across the great divine. How did He build it? That song says He built it with three old nails and two pieces of wood.
Yes.
Folks, He built a way that you and I could get from earth to glory.
Amen.
And people say, well, what happened to all those people that was there in paradise? The Bible says that when Jesus got up from the grave, many of the saints that slept got up also. You know where they're at? they're rejoicing around the throne of God.
They are.
And people, and I'm trying to find a place of hush here in just a minute, but some people think that our loved ones are up there and they're looking down at all the things, the trouble and life that we're going through. Folks, there is no trouble in heaven. There's no sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no death. There's nothing that can bother us once we get there. In fact, Kyla Rowland said it best in that song, heaven's just going to fix it all. How many of you tonight got trouble that you know heaven's going to fix? And some of it, I don't understand what's going to happen between now and then, but I know this, it's in the hands of a just God. And as long as there is breath in our nostrils, as long as there is breath in our loved ones' nostrils who are going through even deeper trouble than what we are, folks, we ought not give up. We just ought to hang on to God's unchanging hand because we know that He will get us through it if we'll just hold on for just a little while. And then He said it like this, "I will, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In just a little while, Brother Russell, maybe today, maybe tonight, I'm like Tara, sometimes yesterday, I guess it was, I know it was Monday and then yesterday again. Sometimes I get just so frustrated with everything that's going on. How Satan is coming and working against this one, and he's working against that one, and how he's tearing apart those things that we love. And how he's trying his best to even destroy our life. My dad, and some of you know this, that I talked to him today, and you know, as we get older, our bodies just start decaying.
Yes, it does.
Right.
I just can't wait for that brand new body. Where Isaiah said that we'll run and not grow weary. We'll soar as eagles. People say, how's that going to happen? I don't know. I just know it's going to happen. Because the Word says it's going to happen. But when we get there, we'll have a brand new body likened unto Him. And we will not have to worry about all these things that we face down here. Jesus went through trouble.
Yes, He did.
Think about the times that they tried to stone Him. Think about the times that the apostles pulled him aside, Rob, and said, don't go that way, go this way, because they're waiting for you. Think about all the times that he would perform a miracle and turn around and the church or somebody would be throwing stones at him saying, you healed on the Sabbath day. Or you went home with sinners. Or you ate with a publican. There's always trouble. There's always going to be trouble. But you know what God does? He minimizes the impact that trouble has on our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know if any of us can make it through all the things that we've been through. Think about your lifetime. And I've had a good life. Wayne, I think all of us say we've had a good life.
Yeah, right.
Does that mean there's always been days of sunshine and never any rain? No. There's been some thunderstorms in my life. There's even been some tornadoes that come through my life. But you know what I found after I looked over the horizon? The storm had left. You know what I found? God is still on the throne. He's still looking down. And no matter how much trouble the devil brings, God is able. Can you see him? I can just see him taking the broom and sweeping up all the trouble that Satan has done. Putting it in the, I don't know what, the scooper. I don't know what it's called. And then throwing it away. See, he's able to put it all back together.
Yes, he is.
If we'll just hold to Him tonight.
Yes.
Trouble won't last always. It's just here for a little while. Our life is just here for a little while.
Yeah.
I said at the opening of the message tonight that you don't have to have God. You can make it through this life without God. I don't understand how people do it. Some folks might say you're just too weak. I say I'm weak, but He is strong.
Amen.
Some people say that maybe you're just your mentality just isn't at the right level to have to believe in a God. Well, I don't just believe in Him. I know that there is a God.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Folks might say, how do you know it? Look around you.
Yes.
Look at all the beauty that this world has. Yes. And then just take a look at a loved one next to you or a brother or sister. There's no way that we came out up from underneath an atomic explosion in space and this world became what it is. No way it happened. It had to have a greater creator.
Yes.
than what they believe in that. And I'll close with this. I didn't come swinging off of a tree.
Amen.
Nor walking out of the midst of the water.
That's right.
But I come because God spoke
yeah.
and said, let there be man.
Yes, he did.
And then he said, let this make him a helpmeet. And he made woman. And trouble, and I have to be careful, trouble has been there ever since the garden.
Yes.
And women, don't take that the wrong way. I don't blame Eve. You remember what Adam said when the first trouble come? He said, the woman that you gave me. He tried to blame the woman and God.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
For the trouble that came into his life. Sometimes we are the cause of our trouble.
Yeah.
Yes.
But most of the time, it's because the devil is working, trying his best to tear you down and to tear me down. And if we allow him, he'll get us all flat lipped. He'll get us to where we're ready to throw up our hands and say, I quit.
Yes, he will.
But if we remember who brought us through the last storm.
Yeah. Right.
Who brought us through that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Who gave us the strength that we had need of? And sometimes I have to have a song that I sing in the midst of my trouble. To some folks, they may look at me and say, you're not singing. But in my mind, in my heart, there's a song that keeps me going when those days come. I hope you got something from the Word tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm thankful that Jesus showed us how to go through our trouble.
Yeah.
Every time there was trouble, he prayed to the Father.
Yeah.
Every time the apostles or somebody got in trouble, he told them, go to the Father. And you and I can do the same thing. Some folks, I feel sorry for them when they have to wait till they go to church to pray.
Amen.
I feel sorry for them if they have to get a man to pray for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad that we're the redeemed of God and we don't have to wait on anybody.
Right.
We can go straight to the throne room and say, Lord, it's me again.
Yeah.
And you know what, Brother Russell? I will close with this. I don't have to tell him who I am.
Right.
He knows exactly who I am.
Yes, he does.
By my voice. And when he hears it, I believe he gets excited. Because there's one of his children that's calling on him. Tonight, if we could have a song, Jeff. And I don't know about an invitation, but I think we could do this. If you need to pray, the altar is open. There is a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how much more this world can stand. Of all the trouble that's going on.
Just trouble on every hand.
To somebody that really knows God, you look around and you say, how in the world people make it? How do they go? Last week, Tiffany was at the hospital working, and she was telling me about and y'all saw it on the news, about the uncle who killed the one-month-old baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Becky is telling me today, or this afternoon, about a boy, 16, 17 years old, down in Florida that killed his mother and father with a hammer, shut the door, and then invited all of his Facebook friends over to have a party.
Yeah.
It's just sickness all around. And these are just some of the things we hear. A woman who kills her child and gets away with it.
Yeah.
People say you shouldn't be judgmental. The facts point to that. That's why I'm not a judge. It's destroying us.
Sin's raining all everywhere.
Yes.
It's
sin on every hand.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
But Jesus warned us about that, Brother Russell, because he said as time goes on, men's heart will grow further and further away from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
We've become to where we think that we are gods.
Yeah.
And that we control our own life and our own destiny.
Yeah.
And how foolish, straight from hell, that message has come.
Yeah.
And it's destroying a lot of our people today.
It
so,
is.
Jeff, sing us a song, Rob.
If
you would, leave us.
Sand,
if you want to pray, the altar's open. People say, I don't see an altar. You can make it right there.
You can.
Make it right there. And call upon the Lord.
390.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. table of victory wins. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your mansion of pride? There's power in the blood.
For having us over tonight.
Oh,
we appreciate it.
My pleasure. I've been tickled death to have you, sir. I've been looking forward to it since I heard about it. It's coming. I've just been on top of the world.
Bless you, baby.
I've been praying day and night, see, Mike. You guys get to see us. I've been sitting here looking at four walls. I'll tell you, anything's better than four walls.
We'll take that as a compliment.
Four walls just bad after a while.
Yes,
I sure appreciate everyone's here. I want you to everyone's here tonight. I want to tell you this right back by my heart. I appreciate everyone. Now, Livingston, everyone, I can't call everybody's name that's here tonight, but I love everyone's here tonight.
Bless you. We love you, brother.
Everyone's here tonight. Everybody's here tonight.
Yes.
I love being in the church weeds. Every time my church doors open over there, I left Bill there. I would. Every time the doors open, I left to be there. You're a two old man, but probably could go. But this old man here, he's still going to church, and I'm not. He'd beat me on church. Going to church.
No, I haven't beat you on nothing, brother. I just want you to know. Said a man without honor amongst his own kindred.
Yeah.
A stranger gets to him quicker than
Yes.
Quicker than you can watching your own family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Prophet had not on.
Yeah. I'm going to get out of the way here. I wasn't really able to come. I probably wouldn't have come if Puggin had called me, but he called me. He said, I'll come back and get you. And
I'm glad you're here. I know you're not able.
I got my shower, and as if I didn't need one. I always stay dirty from trying to work a little. And my wife said, I don't know how you can get so dirty. I said, if you work, you'll get dirty.
Yeah, that's the truth.
She told me, she said, you quit telling people you lean on a stick to work. But I do.
Yeah. If I work, I'd have to.
I want you to know I appreciate you. I appreciate every one of you. I know every one of you is good, God-fearing people. And I appreciate you all. Appreciate your prayers that you pray for my family. I was telling Tuck, I don't know why I talked to him so much, maybe, but anyway, I told him, I said, you know, I was lengthy about telling Russell about Scott getting saved, and I said, your daughter, I keep forgetting her name, told Russell, and I said, I was a little lengthy about calling him, and I called him on a Friday, and I said, he told me, Charlene told him about it, and said, I wasn't able to get out of the chair, but said I shouted all over the house. So I wish I'd have called you earlier. I wouldn't have been worrying so much about it. I shouted Russell, if it had been true. He wouldn't have been a false pretense.
That's the best news I've heard in a long time. I tell you, you hear of somebody that you know getting saved, it's just, I don't know.
Amen.
I couldn't hold back. Lord,
bless you.
I know the Lord. You hear that in my life. Not all my life there for several years. And I'll tell you, that was the best news I'd heard in a long time. Lord, it tore me up. I mean, I felt so good. I couldn't keep shouting. It was wonderful. It was wonderful to hear of somebody getting saved. And especially if I'd heard so much for you guys, boys.
Yes.
And when I got saved, boys, it just. Like five right there, right there in the house with him. He got told me that. I really felt good.
That never needed it, brother. I'm telling you, that boy, he was bad. He was bad to get out and get stoned, boy. And he thought he could whip the world when he got stoned, you know. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, somebody's going to shoot you, Scott. I said, I'm telling you, they'll cut you all to pieces or shoot you. I said, you're going to. I'm telling you, I said, the Lord's going to turn you loose here after a while, and somebody will kick you. But I'm glad you got saved.
Amen.
And I can't thank God enough for that. And I can't thank all of you enough for your prayers for me. And I got some more boys.
I got some more boys there. Most do pray for one another.
Yes.
I didn't do nothing to get him saved because it all got him. Already saved when I heard about it.
Your prayers was answered though, brother.
I sure was happy though.
Yeah.
Oh, I was happy. I was happy for him getting saved. Yeah.
Yeah.
I sure was. But I thank every one of you and love every one of us and thank you for coming out here tonight. You don't know how I feel in my heart. It's just a thumping cough. I miss your wife so bad. I love that woman. I love your wife.
She's telling you, she loves you guys too.
I love your wife. I do love her.
Like Ruby too.
Pretty tasty.